Good morning and welcome to CFTRI's very own Thali Tales, the fortnightly audio digest. Thali Tales brings you useful information on nutrition, food research, hygiene and food safety. Brought to you every fortnight by CSIR, Central Food Technological Research Institute, Mysuru. Volume number 2 and issue number 2, 15th March 2019. This week, Thali Tales serves you millets, miracle food or famine crops. What a sweet sense. Foxtail millet. And why wean the baby away from the breast milk?
Millets, miracle foods or famine crops? What food can we grow in a barren, infertile land in an almost desert-like condition? Did you say nothing except some cacti? You are probably wrong. There are many crops, in fact wonder crops, that can grow in low fertile land under dry conditions and provide us with good food. And they are called millets. Yes, you heard it right. Millets. There is a sudden rise in their production, consumption and have made their way to reach the supermarkets and have even gained a separate shelf for them. Here is the journey of millets from being famine crops to super grains. Millets are a group of small grain cereal crops. They are grown all over the world and the list is pretty long. To name a few, there are very popular ones like sorghum, pearl millet, foxtail millet and finger millet. There are also those little known kodo millet, little millet, proso millet and barnyard millet. And there are exotic important ones like teff. Millets like rice and wheat are grasses and belong to Poaceae or Gramineae. Similar to other grasses, they produce single kernel or grain. And each kernel has three important layers. A pericarp, the hard and protective outermost layer, germ or embryo that grows into a new plant when seed is sown, and the innermost endosperm, which is the storehouse of starch, proteins, minerals, essential amino acids and enzymes. Based on the extent of their cultivation and the grain size, millets are called as either major or minor millets. Sorghum or jowar and pearl millets or bajra are quite well known major millets. And the finger millet or ragi, foxtail millet, little millet, kodo millet, barnyard millet, proso millet, brown top millet make up the minor ones. Nutritionally, they are any better than rice or wheat? Yes, they are. Millets have complex carbohydrates, are rich in fiber and have unique phenolic compounds having proven health benefits. They are natural source of iron, zinc, calcium, magnesium, potassium, niacin, B6 and folic acid. Consider the finger millet or ragi. It is flooded with calcium and protein and is rich in amino acid tryptophan, cysteine and methionine. Whereas the pearl millet is a high energy cereal with extra supply of iron, magnesium, zinc, phosphorus, protein and fiber as well. High levels of tryptophan in them help our body to produce serotonin, which calms our mood. Phenolics, phytosterols and anthocyanins in them are anti-aging, and their rich fibers can prevent constipation. They also help in diabetes. Millets are easily digested, contains a high amount of lecithin and excellent for strengthening the nervous system. Apart from being food for us, they are also used as poultry feed. The stover left behind after the harvest serves as fodder and have industrial applications too. Sorghum straws are used for production of alcohol. If these grains are so beneficial, then why are they not as popular like rice or wheat? Are they newly discovered plants or forgotten plants? If we look at millet's history, they seem to be some of the oldest foods known to humans. Evidences show that there was cultivation of millet in Korean Peninsula around 3500 to 2000 BC. In India, the millets have been mentioned in some of the oldest texts. Kalidasa's Abhignana Shakuntalam describes that sage Kanva is pouring foxtail millet while bidding farewell to Shakuntala in Dushyanta's court. Kanakadasa's Ramadhanya Charitre includes finger millet, and Kautilya's Arthashastra describes properties of foxtail and kudu millet. But then how and why did they vanish from a grain basket? Increased cultivation of rice and wheat seems to be the major reason. The other reason is the ease of cooking. Women found rolling wheat roti easier than making bajra rotis, which require specific skill. Thanks to our lifestyle diseases, millets are back in focus. It is our own choice to have bajra rotis and ragi mudde instead of rice or chapati, and thus make a larger space for millet in our thali. Of course, we will need machines that process these grains and easy methods to cook. That will make millets the first crop and also the future crops. The scarcity of water and the global climate change might even force us to rely more on millets. It is better that we get used to them from now itself.
What a sweet sense. Saviyu sakkariyolago, sakkariyu saviyolago, saviyu sakkari eradu, jihviyolago. Thus said Kanakadasa, a poet, philosopher, musician and composer from modern Karnataka in 16th century AD. The translation, does sweetness lie in sugar or sugar in sweetness, or do both sweetness and sugar lie in the tongue? It is an insightful question, philosophically and also scientifically. Why do we taste sweet, or what is that sense known as sweetness? Of course, sweet is a sense of taste that helps animal the ability to evaluate what it eats and drinks. This evaluation helps to eat only those nutritious substances and avoid eating poisons or toxins. There is no doubt that animals, including humans, have specific taste preferences. That is, they choose certain types of food in preference to others. Sense of taste is not just a pleasurable sense, but a sense for survival too. Some dialects in Kannada use bitterness as synonyms with poison. Sugar, a carbohydrate, is a sweet, but not all sweets are carbohydrates. Only when carbon, oxygen and hydrogen atoms bond in a certain way does the resulting compound taste sweet. The sweetness resides neither in carbon nor in oxygen or in hydrogen. It is in the pattern that emerges from their interaction. Strictly speaking, sweetness is not a property of the chemical bonds too. It is a sensory experience that we feel when the sugar molecules interact with the chemistry of our taste buds, which in turn excites a set of nerve cells to produce signal in a certain way. In other words, the sweet sense emerges from that nerve activity. In general, the activity of these buds is very important for the perception of sweetness or any other taste. If the taste buds are blocked from interacting with the sugar, or if there is any other stronger interaction that does not allow sugar to interact with the taste buds, one cannot feel the sweetness. Sugar after consuming a dessert therefore tastes bland. Not just that, if the taste buds are paralyzed, then too the sweetness is not felt. For example, if the sugar is tasted after chewing the leaves of Madhuvinashini, sugar will taste like sand. This is because the extract of Gymnema sylvester contains gymnemic acid, a type of chemical that interacts with chemicals on the taste buds, will briefly suppress the taste of sweetness. These chemicals on the tongue are proteins called receptors. Sweetness is a basic taste most commonly perceived when eating food rich in sugars. Compared to other tastes like bitterness, salty or hotness, sweetness is considered a pleasure, not pain. But it is not just sugars that give us this pleasure. Besides sugar, like sucrose, many other chemical compounds also are sweet. Among them are aldehydes, ketones and other sugar alcohols. Some are so sweet that not spoonfuls, but just a touch of them is sufficient to elicit sweetness. Such substances are used as alternative to sugars. Such non-sugar sweeteners include steviocide, saccharin and aspartame. Steviocide is a type of sugar obtained from stevia plant. There are also chemicals such as miraculin which alter perception of sweetness itself. But then, what is sweet for me may not be so sweet for others. Why does the sense vary between individuals and species is only being understood recently. One guess is called the multi-point attachment theory. It says that sweetness happens because a sweet substance can attach to a receptor at many places. So when all receptors are engaged, the sense wanes and we feel the same substance bland. The sense of taste is because of taste receptor cells which form clusters called taste buds on our tongue. Taste receptor cells sample a large number of small molecules and report a sensation of taste to centers in the brain stem. In most animals, including humans, taste buds are on small pegs of tissue on the tongue called papillae. The taste buds themselves are too small to see without a microscope, but can be seen if one looks at the tongue closely. Taste buds have somewhere between 50 to 150 taste receptor cells bundled together like a cluster of bananas. The taste receptor cells within a bud are arranged in such a way that their tips form a mouth or pore into which tiny extensions from the cells or microvilli are extended. The microvilli bear taste receptors. Interwoven among the taste cells in a taste bud is a network of dendrites of sensory nerves called taste nerves. When sugar or other chemicals bind to their receptors, taste cells are stimulated. The stimulation is nothing but a change in their electrical properties and is called depolarization. This depolarization spreads to the connected taste nerves, starting a signal which then travels to the brain. The sense of taste is equivalent to excitation of taste receptors, and receptors for a large number of specific chemicals have been identified that contribute to it. We humans appreciate a wide variety of tastes because historically we are animals that eat anything and everything, and the genes we carry that allow us to sense sweet, salt, sour, bitter and umami flavors. Now, Kanakadasa was right. There is no sweetness in sugar, nor on tongue, nor is it within us. It is in the interaction of all these.
Foxtail millet. Recently, I went to market for buying 2 kilos of foxtail millet. I was stunned by the shop assistant's question. 2 kgs, Anna, why? You have lots of bird at home. It took a while for me to convince and make him understand that millet isn't just a bird feed and that is beneficial to humans too. Embrace the goodness of millet. They are packed with nutrition, high in fiber and gluten free. If you are into healthy eating, chances of having nutritious food on your thali, spending thousands of rupees from the supermarket, however, do you know that the same nutritious food or grain can be obtained from millets, which cost less than rupees 100 per kg and almost as nutritious as the Western import? One such millet I would like to present to you is foxtail millet. Foxtail millet is the second most widely planted species of the smaller cereals that are known as millets. It is an old crop which was already used in China over 7,000 years ago. Scientifically, foxtail millet is termed as Setare italic. Foxtail millet is familiar by different names in India like Navane, Kannada, Kakum, Hindi, Korralu, Telugu and Tennai, Tamil. Foxtail millet probably originated from India and China. It is an annual grass grown as a cereal. It has slim stems and can grow to 120 to 200 centimeter tall. The inflorescence is a dense, hairy panicle 10 to 30 centimeter long, which has the shape of foxtail. Grains of foxtail millet are about 2 mm in size. Foxtail millet matures early and does not need much water, which makes it suitable for relatively dry areas. Foxtail millets are rich in calories that provide energy and strength to the body. It is considered as a perfect substitute for the healthy diet. 100 grams of foxtail millet contains 11.3 grams of protein, 4.3 grams of fat, 60.2 grams of carbohydrates, 351 kilocalories energy, 4 grams of minerals, 6.7 grams of fiber, 2.8 mg of iron, 11.2 mg of protein, 3.2 mg of niacin, 290 mg of phosphorus, and finally 31 mg of calcium. Unlike rice, foxtail millet releases glucose steadily without burdening the metabolism of the body. It also gives you required amount of vitamins and minerals. Moreover, it does not have the gluten, a protein in wheat which causes digestive problems. Foxtail millet helps in maintaining the blood sugar level. It lowers the bad cholesterol level and helps in weight loss. The high amount of dietary fiber present in the foxtail millet helps in relieving the constipation and is an ideal way to cure indigestion. It is enriched with vitamin B6, which regulates the healthy functioning of the nervous system. Of course, if you do not want to use it as it is, there is a way. Combine it with rice or wheat to cook dishes that gives the best of both the worlds. The multigrain snacks that crowd the markets are just that. A mix of millet and wheat or rice, it is often mixed with other grains such as wheat to make baked goods such as bread or noodles. Wow! What else do we need? In one foxtail millet, we are getting nutrition which is cost effective. So my dear listeners, start adding foxtail millet in your recipe to keep you healthy, and you know that health is wealth. It is high time we added more of them in our daily diet and reap their healthy benefits.
Why wean the baby away from breast milk?
La 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 lori, दूध की कटोरी दूध में बताशा मुन्नी करे तमाशा ओ लल्ला लल्ला लोरी दूध की कटोरी दूध में बताशा मुन्नी करे तमाशा
Heard this ever? Mothers resort to this to feed their baby. Feeding babies is the most onerous task that a young mother faces. Let me tell you, even for a good cook and a responsible daughter, sister, daughter-in-law and wife, this dilemma is inevitable when she gets a baby. Believe me, it is not an easy task to choose what to feed and what not to feed to your child, especially so if it is your first baby. Questions gather in her mind. Mother's milk is said to be the best food for a baby. But how long should it be fed like that? What if the mother is working and so on? Grandmothers know that a child cannot be fed breast milk forever. Babies need to be weaned away from the mother's milk. How cruel! Not really. Weaning is needed to get your baby used to the kind of food that we eat. A few months after the birth, even mother's milk is not sufficient for the infant. Why, if you ask? Well, the baby is growing. And growing how? A healthy baby doubles its weight by the end of 6 months and triples it by its first birthday. To meet such high growth rates, proper, sound nutrition has to be provided. But then, what is the best time to give the other food? And what other food? How long should this be given? Should it be changed after some time? These are other questions that bog a young mother. After about 5 or 5.5 months, a baby needs foods other than milk. Because first, baby's stomach capacity increases tenfold from 10 to 20 ml at birth to 200 ml by its first birthday. Secondly, teeth show up after 6 months, so baby will certainly need something to chew. Thirdly, the digestive system would have also developed to some extent that semi-solid food can be given to the child. Now comes the time to introduce weaning food into the child's diet. Did you ask what is that? Weaning food is nothing but your food, slightly modified to suit the needs of the baby. The baby needs every kind of nutrition. It needs energy, proteins, good fat, vitamins, minerals to grow, repair, sustain and flourish. Did you say now it's time for a bowl full of dal? Remember, dal may be a protein food, but not the only one. Once in a day, half bowl of well-cooked dal may be good, but any extra dal may cause indigestion. Further, dal contains trypsin inhibitors, which harm enzymes that break down protein and help absorption. Are there any other options? Say eggs? Yes, but not the whole egg. Just the egg yellow or yolk, because egg white may contain proteins that cause allergy or bacterial infection. Beware, raw eggs should never be fed to infants because they may contain bacteria. And also, no uncooked or undercooked egg, please. Too much of protein can burden the kidney than some other foods. So enough amount of water should be given to the infant when while giving protein-rich foods like egg. Annaprashanam is nothing but a ritual that introduces first meal to the child. The weaning foods given should be wholesome, containing all the essential nutrients in a digested form. The thumb rule is to give one type of weaning food at a time and follow good hygienic practice. Starting with a thin gruel-like food at the age of 5 to 6 months, one can move to thicker, semi-solid one. With rice, wheat, ragi, green gram dal, sprouted and dehusked, one can add almond, groundnut and cashew nut powder in small quantity. Once the baby is 8 or 9 months old, mashed potato, mashed banana and minced fruits can be given. What about fruit juices? Yeah, you can introduce fruits in 7th or 8th month. One at a time. But fruit juices alone is not a good idea as fruits contain sorbitol and lot more fructose than glucose. Babies can absorb only a little of sorbitol and fructose. The rest is fermented and can cause diarrhea, abdominal pain or bloating. Not only that, fermentable sugars in the juice also make the tooth decay. Always remember, the weaning food should be gradual, milder, softer and natural. Once in a while, allow baby lead weaning, which means allow the kid to finish her food by herself instead of feeding. Baby fed weaning, where the infant is the whole sole caretaker of emptying her plate, is now accepted practice all around the world. It not only helps fine-tune motor development like the development of hand-eye coordination, chewing skills, dexterity and healthy eating habits, but also offers babies an opportunity to explore the taste, texture, aroma and color of variety of foods. Don't worry about those messy dresses post-feed, kyunki kuch daag acche hote hain. And well, you can still sing, la 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 lori, doodh ki katori.
all, that was the Tali Tales for this fortnight. Hope you relished and enjoyed it. Myself, Abdul Majid, Miss Akshata, Miss Suruchi Nautiyal, and Dr. N.R. Manjunatha contributed stories. Narration again by myself, Abdul Majid, Nida Ome Salma, and Sanjana Jagannath. La-la-la-la-lori, doodh ki kathori. Video song courtesy by Priya Videos YouTube. Tali Tales is a free magazine produced and distributed by CSIR CFTRI Mysuru. You can also freely share Tali Tales with anyone. Listeners may send their queries and suggestions on food and related issues directly through WhatsApp to 0821-251-5910 or register at the website www.cftri.com. You can also call the number 0821-251-5910 from Monday to Friday to ask any questions. Tali Tales will try to provide answer in subsequent issues. See you again next fortnight. Until then, bye-bye and good day.